coming from the first reading, we're still in the early days of the church and its history, and it is growing by leaps and bounds everywhere that the gospel touches. And the apostles, the first priests of the New Testament priesthood, are starting to discover that they need a bit of help. There are so many people growing in the community, and there's this need to, you know, take care of the poor, in this particular case, the widows, those who have no one supporting them, and it's overwhelming them. Because some of them are being neglected. You know, the Hellenists are saying, hey, they're getting all the food, we're being left out. And so they realize that their ministry is going to more closely echo the Old Testament priestly ministry than they probably originally thought. In the Old Testament, you had the high priest, you had the priests, and then you had the Levites, which corresponds to today's bishops, presbyters, and deacons. The Levites, what did they do? The high priest and the priest did all of the offerings of sacrifice. The Levites had the task of helping. Can you imagine, you know, sacrifice meant, especially the animal sacrifices, something has to be slain, is blood poured out, get cut up into pieces, put on the altar with the fires lit, and then clean up all the mess afterward. Yeah. He and the other permanent deacons and transitional deacons are very glad that the Levites don't have that type of work to do anymore. But they also had some sacrificial ministry, too, of a different kind. Remember, when these seven first deacons are chosen, they don't just bring them forward and put them to work. They bring them before the apostles, who do what to them? Remember what this means? To lay hands laid upon you means you're being marked for death. The very first Christian martyr is amidst the group of those first seven deacons that were ordained. His name is Stephen. Because they will also have some ministry of doing what the apostles realize needs to be their primary focus of A, continuing the one perfect sacrifice of Christ in the sacrifice of the Mass, but also proclaiming the gospel, which has controversial overtones to it, because you've got Jesus saying these wild and crazy things like, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, meaning exclusively, there's no other way, there's no other truth, there's no other life. And when he's talking about life, it's not earthly life, it's eternal life. And so there's this need to keep that proclaimed, and that's their primary focus as the first priest of the New Testament, and that's continued all the way down through what's primary duty of bishops and priests today. I'm not pointing at him. I'm pointing at this over here in the middle. The sacrifice of the Mass and proclaiming the truth of the Gospels of this very same Jesus who is still the way, the truth, and the life. But then, did you hear the reading from Peter's first letter? There's a whole nother layer to that, isn't it? What does he call the laity? Which would mean you. So you got to pay more attention to these readings. He calls the laity a royal priesthood. So when we get past the offertory and I start offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass at the altar, you're all going to come up and join me around the altar, right? No. What does that mean? Something we have struggled with over the course of history, trying to keep everything together and assembled in context and in its proper order and place. There is the ministerial priesthood, bishops, priests, and deacons, but there's also the priesthood of all the baptized, which means all of you who have been baptized, and then hopefully followed through and had this done to you in the sacrament of confirmation, where, like us, you too are being marked for death. Because, remember, what do priests do? Offer sacrifice. So I'm just making this all up as I go along, right? Have you heard of this thing called the Second Vatican Council? I would hope. One of its major documents is called the Constitution on the Church. Its formal title is Lumen Gentium, which in English simply means Light of the Nations, and it's talking about the Church. In it, it's going to reference First Letter of Peter with this concept of, by your baptism, you are a royal priesthood. And then to pull up something I've done a number of times already, there's this part in the Mass at the offertory where I say, pray, brothers and sisters, that your sacrifice and mine may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. What is your sacrifice? You can find what I said. I made it in big print for myself up here. That part from Lumen Gentium comes from the 10th paragraph. And again, it references 1 Peter. But then there's also this. It's referenced in Lumen Gentium and in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Paragraph 901. I'm doing a fact check on myself for you up here. It says this. Hence, the laity, dedicated as they are to Christ and anointed by the Holy Spirit, are marvelously called and prepared so that even richer fruits of the Spirit may be produced in them. For all their works, prayers, apostolic undertakings, family and married life, daily work, relaxation of mind and body if accomplished in the Spirit, indeed even the hardships of life if patiently borne, all these become spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And in the celebration of the Eucharist, these may most fittingly be offered to the Father along with the body of the Lord. And so worshiping everywhere by their holy actions, what do the laity do? They consecrate the world itself to God, everywhere offering worship by the holiness of their lives. Who was that talking about? You. So, with that in mind, here's an interesting question. What is one of the things that we should be sure we never do when we come to Mass? We could do kind of a long list, but there's one thing in particular this brings to mind. One thing we should never do when we come to Mass. We should never come empty-handed. Oh my. What does that mean? Is it getting quiet in here like it did at 8 o'clock and 4:30 yesterday afternoon? What does that mean? Never come empty-handed. Yeah, we're going to have the offertory, which means baskets are going to be passed around because, you know, just like you with your home, we have bills to pay. We've got a building, parts of it are over 40 years old, some of it's still 20 years old, and having to do plumbing and electrical and pay employees and keep up the yard and all this other stuff. But below that, there's this more significant aspect of not coming empty-handed, which means all that I just read from the Catechism of the Catholic Church is stuff we're meant to bring with us, your lives. Your family life, your married life, your work life, your school life, your leisure activities, all assuming that they are done how? It even said that in what I read, in the Lord. You know, we have to develop this mentality that everything we do, we run it through a filter of, is this something that I can offer to God? Because I am intended to bring it with me when I come to Mass, and offer it along with whoever the priest is up here offering the Eucharist up to God. Because through your daily activities, what you do from the end of Mass on Sunday until you come to get into Mass on the next Sunday is meant to be something you can worthily bring to Mass and offer up. your work that brings consecration to Christ of this world in which we live. Not coming empty-handed. That means there's this intentionality of how we live. We're not just going along, blowing about all whatever way the wind blows with the rest of the world. We have our focus that we are living our lives for Christ with the intention that we will be offering it to Christ when we gather together as God's people at church for the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the perfect sacrifice that connects us to that one perfect sacrifice of Christ on the cross. It's our participation in it. And again, we are meant to bring everything that we're doing in between this Mass and the next one, being sure that what we're doing is something we can worthily offer to God. Does that put a new perspective on it? Want me to go through the whole thing again? Nobody wants me to do that. Yeah. But, you know, there's a sense of what we're... When the Second Vatican Council was talking about active participation in the Mass, that's exactly what it was talking about. Again, deliberately, conscientiously, intentionally living our lives in a state of grace, doing all things in, through, and for Christ, that we might bring it as an offering to lift up to God as we're preparing to receive Himself in the Eucharist. Don't come empty-handed. Be prepared to offer to God whatever you've been through in the last week in Christ. Your work, your play, your marriages, your families, the relationships you have with your children, your siblings, your parents, with your families, with your neighbors, all things in such a way that by God's grace at work within you becomes a worthy offering to lift up to Jesus Himself.